I'd like to welcome everybody to the Virtue County Commissioners Meeting, October 17th, 2022. I'd like to call this meeting to order. I'd like for Commissioner Lee to lead us in the invocation.
Okay. Shall we pray? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you. We thank you for the gift of life, and we thank you for what it means to each and every one of us, Lord. We thank you for your many, many blessings. And Lord, we just pray now that as we go into this meeting, that everything that is said and done will be pleasing unto your sight. Lord, be with the citizens of Bertie County and bless them, Lord. Keep them healthy. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Commissioner Lee.
My pleasure.
First on the agenda is going to be the introduction of the new DSS director, Ms. Daphne Little, by the DSS board chair, Ms. Alfreda Johnson.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Johnson. How are you?
Jordan. You about like I do. I'll let you borrow mine for the rest of the week. This is a very pleasant, happy, and exciting occasion for Bertie County Department of Social Services. For many months, we have struggled, and I know what you all are thinking. We've done more than struggle. Because it's been years. But unfortunately, 6 years have brought us to the point where we are in UL debt so heavy until we'll never get out. But I pray that the Lord will help us through. But I can say thank you to him because he has brought us to a new beginning. And what I referred to last Friday during the induction at the courthouse, here at the courthouse, is our agency is in the midst of a renaissance. We are in the, where we are rebirthing ourselves. We had an occasion to be with the staff on Friday. And Ron was there, and I appreciate his service for being there, and some other board members, and those who couldn't attend had representatives in their stead. Thanks, Greg, I appreciate that. Okay, but you missed a fun time and a delicious meal. But we had gotten special permission, thank you, sir, to close the agency for 2 hours. And we had lunch with Jack, the interim director, and we had an occasion to meet Ms. Little's family, and she was there, and we had lots of fun. But I saw a new staff, and when I use the word renaissance, and I don't want to take too much time because I'm a talker, but when I met the staff this time, it was a whole new slate of people. The same names, the same bodies, but different enthusiastic people. It was a beautiful, beautiful day. I wish you all could have been there to celebrate. So at this time, I just want to say thank you all so much for the approval that you gave us to move forward with our new director, and she's a young lady. She's very family oriented, she's very community oriented, and I'll let her in a moment tell you more about her experiences because she has been with Cumberland County DSS for numerous years and in several different positions, so she has a very varied background when it comes to the different programs that are in DSS. And also she worked with the state, you know, and she knows child welfare beautifully. I know she is, you know, she is the ideal person. We had two really good people to select from. We chose her, and I pray that you all will be pleased with her performance. And I promise.
I will do everything I can to help her. Now, she describes herself as a structured leader. She has a military background. Not that she was in the military, but I'll let her tell you more about that. And she believes that critical thinking. And you can tell that she's a critical thinking person. And she has inspiration. She's very self-confident. She's very self-assured. And she's going to be a good role model, not just for the family, but for all of the families that we serve, as well as the community. And I present you, Ms. Little, that she is there. Good morning.
However, I just want to let everybody know that I am excited about the opportunity of serving Berkeley County citizens. Just tell you a little bit about myself. I started late in life from the County Department of Social Services, and I started at the bottom. I started with food and nutrition, and I worked my way up to the top. To adult services. I did adult home care, counseling, adult protective services. I managed treatment program in conjunction with the court system for 2 years, which day and night. I became a child protective services supervising all programs for, I call it 210 to 15109, but it's CPS assessments, CPS in-home services, permanency planning services, and as well as being on-call for intake and extended duty. So I have a wealth of experience in those things. But when I went to the mission and became a regional child welfare consultant, that taught me the data behind things. So as well as knowing how to do services, I also know that there's a data aspect to it, a tracking method to it, how we do our day sheets, how we do our billing. So that way I can see the gaps in the agency. So what is apparent in the system, what the workers are actually doing, and where we're falling short. So I am a person that does monitor and follow up. I'm service oriented. Dad retired fire major. My daughter graduated from the Citadel Military Academy. My daughter's at NC State, and I'm about to join the military. So I am very structured. However, we like to have a little bit of fun. So, I'm going to be reaching out to the community, trying to make sure that our presence is known and that our community stakeholders understand what we do, what we want to do, that we want to provide assistance.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Lilla. And Ms. Jordan, I attended, you know, the swearing in, and it was really, really nice. Got a chance. I had all your resources, parents, mother, father, mother in a wheelchair present, you know, and that meant a lot to me. You know what I mean? Because sometimes people use excuses not to be there, but mother in a wheelchair present. You know, and father was present, and daughters and girlfriend. But, you know, it means a lot to me for that, because it means a lot, because I believe in family sticking together in a wheelchair or either running fast. Ms. Jordan, I will make one comment about the staff that you supervise as chairperson. Everybody, same name, same body, different energy, different thinking. And, you know, we want to take that and move forward. You know, I don't want your staff to look back, and because back is history. We're moving forward. New day, new chapter, new book.
Yes, like the fellow said, on the
Miss Little, welcome to Bertie County. We're happy to have you here, and look forward to many years of working along with you for the betterment of DSS. So welcome. I'm sorry I could not be there Friday. I was in a meeting in Winston-Salem. When you are too involved sometimes, it pulls you in many directions.
That's right.
Ms. Little, thank you very much for coming to Bertie County. Thank you very much for the future service you're going to be servicing Bertie County. And again, I feel very confident in the decision that the board has made. And I feel very confident in your words, because also my father was in the military also. And if anybody doesn't know the rank, the sergeant major in the Army is someone who actually runs the deal, not actually the generals. So I commend you, I commend your family to be military oriented, and thank you very much for coming to Bertie County.
Thank you as well, Mr. Little. We are delighted to have you here in Bertie County. We look forward to your leadership. And if we, the Board of Commissioners, can support you in any way, don't hesitate whatsoever, you know, to call on us individually, collectively. We are all here for the same purpose, to support the well-being of citizens in this county. And we look forward to your leadership, DSS. Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you,
Reverend Ron said it just.
At this time, I'm going to ask for an agenda approval from Mr. Rick Spivey to be on the agenda. Reference Board of Grants, can I have a motion, please?
I make the motion that Mr. Rick Spivey, Director of Bertie County Water Department, be on the agenda today.
Have a second, please.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Spivey, you're up to bat.
Thank you, sir.
Bear in mind, all this is 100% grant funding. Doesn't cost the county 1 cent.
That's a good thing.
We like no cents.
As you see on the first page, that it's the letter of intent actually, and showed a schedule when this work has to be done or who we're going to start. However, time is very, very important at this point. We did an advertisement for qualified engineers to who had an interest in actually bidding on this work. However, in most cases, usually the engineer that actually worked that county or that town is the only one usually submit an application qualification as well. We only received one from our green engineer firm out of Wilson, who actually been doing work for this county for almost a decade now. My opinion with that, that they are outstanding, they are qualified, they're certified, and did a good job for us here in Bertie County. As a matter of fact, they work free at actually putting together applications to try to get this funding. So I think it's a plus towards that. As I say, the second page you see is a copy of the contract. They have to have a contract in order for the state to release this money. We have to have an engineer in place.
Again, I'd like to add to this, the email services and systems have been shut down here in Bertie County for the county and for the state for the last week now. That is one reason we're pushing this thing through. When we do vote on this, I'd like to vote in it, how you want to vote, but with the approval of the attorney in reference to this contract, okay? And that would be the deal. And it is $4,912,000 for this contract for Lewiston Woodville Water System. Anything else you'd like
to add? I have 8 points I'd like to point out for, if you give me just a few seconds. Mm-hmm. All right, first of all, this project is intended to replace all the old pipes, scrub on galvanized pipe, AC pipe, which is the best cement pipe all the old water meters, fire hydrant, and water mains as well as the veil. This funding was applied through the American Recovery Act. There is no cost to the county, and it has been determined to be a distressed county. This project has to be completed by 2026. So we are pushing it. And it's been a long time coming, really, with the age-old system that the Lewis Woodville community actually is dealing with. All engineering and construction costs are paid through the recovery funds. The county is spending $1,000 annually repairing leaks, and probably more than that. You know, $1,000 kind of on the low end, repairing the leaks in Lewis and Woodville. Matter of fact, I know this is a little low because last year it cost us around $3,000 to make one repair on Oak Drive. So we are fortunate that Green Engineer was able to obtain these funds from Richardson County, and we are because we have actually applied years back for some funding and we didn't get it. So just go around, we got it with 100% funding. And the last but not least, they are now required to file a preliminary engineer report by December the 1st, which that time, it takes a lot of time for them to get this stuff together, get those submitters in. So they got very little time to work with. The window is narrow. So I asked you all today if y'all would consider this here, move forward and try to upgrade the Lewis and Woodville water system.
Any questions?
I do have one, Director Spivey, and this is just kind of a corner case, but you know, when we redid and the South Water Windsor system, when we put in the 6-inch pipe, man, that was really significant for us. But one of the things I've heard from a lot of homeowners is that it's great to have the pipe. It's great for new systems being in the ground. I'm sure it decreases repairs. But are there any funds out there at all where homeowners who want to take advantage of the increased water pressure, because you have to change your lines in order to really get that additional pressure? At least that's what we found. If you got 6-inch pipe and you still got a 1-inch line, does it do very much for your pressure?
Well, actually, when it comes to the pressure, it all depends on the area and the zoning itself, right? Because of that's the correct. Pressure comes from the hydrant actually kind of keep the pressure throughout the county. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, you could be a little too far from the water main itself, and then the size of the main plays a role. 2-inch pipe, 4-inch pipe, 6-inch pipe. And then the service line that you actually run from your meter to your house plays a role to what your pressure could be.
That's the one I'm talking about. Are there any funds out there at all for citizens who want to, you know, change the pipe from the line running near their property to their home to really take advantage of greater
pressure? You're talking
pressure?
About the meter to the from house. The meter to the house.
Exactly right.
That's a good question, Commissioner. I'm not sure, but I will actually look into it. I will get my engineer friend and see if there's such thing we could do that. Because you're right, there are in some areas, and I had one that called me and asked the same question, not if there was any funding, but what can it do to increase their pressure to the house?
That's right.
You know.
Great. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Question I have for you, Rick. In reference to the piping, this piping is large enough for expansion also, correct?
Yes, sir.
And on top of the housing that we have, then the piping is going to be replaced. Say hypothetically, workforce housing, things of that nature come into the West Bertie County, which is deeply needed, as we've all discussed.
Right.
Would that be able to handle a subdivision to be able to expand out?
I believe so. As a matter of fact, you and I have met at some point in Lewiston, and I was looking at that.
Yes.
I do think without a problem, due to the fact that that area, the pressure in the area would be pretty great due to the fact of the distance we are from Tainton before. And to do is then the service or meter water line from that hydrant at the end of that road, I don't think it'd be a problem at all.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a great question, because you've seen it affect with the project we're doing down on the teacher housing, right?
That's right.
And the requirements are very stringent.
That's right.
So you need that new... the new right. pressure. Okay, great.
And, you know, in some cases now, we might, depending on the area, there's a possibility we might have to put in a pressure tank. You know, we can do a pneumatic tank. All depends on how much pressure we're actually trying to get in that area. Okay.
Mr. Chair, ready for motion?
Yes, I am. I'm sorry. You can.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
If we're paying $756,500, that leaves us about $4,100,000. That covers expenses with the easy.
Easy. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm, to be honest with you, I'm almost afraid that we're going to probably end up turning some of that money back in. All depends on the price of the material stuff now, which we do know a huge increase in a lot of material that actually went up. But the size of the Lewis and Whitby water system, there's a possibility we should be able to get that done within that.
Well, maybe we can find somewhere else to put that money.
Right. Exactly.
We're
going to look at the, that role we talked about as we start doing those submittals, and that, you know, and especially in that Lewis
area. And listen, you do a fantastic job. You keep us updated on that.
I certainly will.
Yes, we're going to move forward on that one.
Okay. Thank you so much.
All right. And I have a motion on the floor.
Yeah, I make the motion that we accept the monies and the funds for the to increase and improve the enhancement of Lewis and Woodville Community Water System.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much, Mr. Spivey, for your hard work. Thank you, Mr. Attorney. I want to slip in there while we're doing it, you know. Yes, sir.
Are y'all waiting to hear from us about? Oh,
absolutely. Yes, sir. That's the reason I made the statement I made, so that we'd all know that it per the attorney's approval.
All right.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, update request project consultant, Ms. Robin Payne. I apologize for that. Request to display U.S. model by Rick Lanier.
Honorable Commissioners, thank you for placing the U.S. Motto Action Committee on your agenda this morning. My pleasure to come before you. This is an invitation to join the growing list of cities and counties that are voting yes to proudly and prominently display our national motto, "In God We Trust," in and on their governmental buildings and law enforcement vehicles as well. My name is Rick Lanier. I'm co-founder and field director of the U.S. Motto Action Committee. I served as county commissioner in Davidson County from 1998 to 2002. In 2002, I led my board of commissioners to vote yes to display "In God We Trust" on the exterior of the governmental center. Soon after that, several other surrounding cities and counties began joining us in doing the same. We formed the U.S. Motto Action Committee for the sole purpose to promote patriotism by encouraging elected officials to vote yes to display "In God We Trust" in and on their governmental buildings. Displaying the motto gives ceremonial honor to public occasions and it expresses confidence in our society. These words have been used on the U.S. currency since 1864. And this inspiring slogan is engraved above the entrance of the U.S. Senate chamber, as well as above the speaker's seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. On July 30th, 1956, during the Dwight D. Eisenhower administration, the U.S. Congress adopted "In God We Trust" as our official national motto of the United States of America. Thus, displaying our motto is a legal right protected by our First Amendment. On November 1st of 2011, the U.S. House of Representatives voted overwhelmingly, 396-9, reaffirm "In God We Trust" as our nation's motto. Congressman Randy Forbes of Virginia sponsored the resolution in part because some have mistakenly stated the "E Pluribus Unum" as our national motto. Most importantly, the resolution specifically encourages placement of our motto in and on all governmental buildings, from courthouses to school classrooms. A recent survey shows that 87% of all Americans still support the display of our national motto. Rightly so, this is our nation's identity. It's the very basis for our form of government. John F. Kennedy stated, "The guiding principle and prayer of this nation has been, is now, and shall forever be, in God we trust. In times of both war and peace, these words have been a profound source of strength and guidance to many generations of Americans. As a grassroots patriotic movement, the U.S. Motto Action Committee stands on solid legal ground. Since Davidson County, North Carolina paved the way, not one legal challenge has been raised against any city or county that has voted yes. And I might add there, we were challenged with a federal lawsuit in Davidson County. They sued the county and me personally. We fought it. We formed this U.S. Motto Action Committee to fight it. We fought it. And guess who came on board with us? The North Carolina Association of County Commissioners felt it was a worthy cause, and they funded it. But guess who had to pay the bill? The ACLU. Because it was appealed twice all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court. Supreme Court referred it back to the appellate court's decision. Now it's case law in our favor. Have not been challenged since then. And I'm glad to announce to you today that we're exceeding 65% of the counties. I'm going before you all today, Pasqua Tank, at the 4 p.m. this afternoon at 6 o'clock in Currituck County. We'll be approaching the 70% mark of counties. And we also have 51 town halls that have voted yes. We currently already have up nearly 300 displays of In God We Trust. This effort is totally legal. There's nothing to challenge. And here's the best part, commissioners. I've sat where you sat. And we were an ultra-conservative county in Davidson County, being the, at that time, the 15th or 17th largest county in the state. We had the, and still have, a low tax rate of 54 cents per $100 amount. So we are very conservative on how we spend our money. But this cost the county nothing. 100% of the display of In God We Trust in and on your buildings comes from private donations, and in some cases, many cases, in your local community. We reach out to your community. We will not accept one penny from county government or town hall governments because we want to keep politics out of it. We don't want some unsuspecting citizen say, you use my tax dollars to do that. But we will accept donations from county officials. I'm gonna point out something to you. Frankie Waters, you know Frankie down in Beaufort County, that was in my last meeting. He said he put a challenge out at the meeting that day. He said, I've got a number in mind. I'm gonna put a challenge to the rest of you commissioners. Maybe you can do the same. But we would appreciate your help as far as some contact information for local businesses and churches and individuals all across our nation. Their elected officials, just like yourself, are quickly embracing the opportunity to display our great motto. Displaying the motto will serve as a perpetual reminder of our godly heritage as a country. There are those who would like to rewrite our history, folks. Our history is and has been Judeo-Christian values. That's what makes us the great country that we are today. And yes, we have our faults. Yes, we make mistakes. What organization, what family does not have problems? But thank God for his blessing. And I still say, God bless America. Elected officials, just like yourself, are showing commitment that our country was founded on. I want to thank you in advance for a yes vote. I apologize for last minute getting the mock-up to you, but I think Juan sent it to you by phone. I have my motel printed a black and white copy you're welcome to look at of what it would look like on the buildings. I'd be glad to take any kind of questions to you that you might have for me this morning concerning what we're doing and the purpose. And of course, I want to point out this to you while you're thinking about your question. I might be able to answer some that are asked sometime. Who decides the size, color, and location? You all do. Y'all decide what building or buildings that you want it on, what locations you want it, the size, color, that sort of thing. those samples that I sent with you there, the flat acrylic, the little small one is the one that usually goes inside the chambers. And we, I think we proposed it, since you don't have a county seal up back here, proposed it on the front of your desk. If you plan to put a county seal right here between the windows at some point, it might be good to have In God We Trust on the wall above it as opposed to on the front desk, but we proposed that there. And yeah, not sure whether that'll fit 4 or 5 inch letters. We proposed it with 5 inch letters. Also on the between the columns on the courthouse, and then it real neat on that what do you call that, where
the foyer
or the, juts out the,
breezeway.
We can put that, have the sign company put that at a little bit of a dome type shape.
Does anybody have any questions for Mr. Lanier? Attorney, so, you have any issues?
So you're proposing that we could do both in both locations?
All three.
Yeah, in here, and then the two on the building.
Two on the building. We have we've had one county. We've had to do it in a couple of phases. One county, Bladen County, wanted on 10 different locations, but we more than two or three, we kind of phase it out a little bit.
I mean, you can see it on the front of the courthouse, but not as well as you can on that breezeway.
Correct.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
No, I would just say if the vote is positive to go forward, I think we can certainly ask our administrative team to take a look at possible positions for it and bring it to us so we can decide on what they are. So.
Okay. Is there a motion on this?
I'll make a motion that we accept Mr. Lanier's proposal to place In God We Trust on our public building.
I'm second.
Yes. I did not get the resolution, so yeah, I don't know.
It's on the back. It's in the package.
There you go.
Oh, okay. Hang on 1 second.
You're fine. That's the reason I refer to you. Legal.
That's correct.
So I'll amend my motion to accept Mr. Lanier's proposal for to place In God We Trust and to adopt this resolution with the exception of the location.
Okay, we have a motion on the table. Is there a second?
I'll second the amendment, the amended motion.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Any questions? If there is none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Mr. Lanier.
Appreciate it. And now I guess I'll defer to Juan for future updates of locations and colors and that sort of thing.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Don't be a stranger, Mr. Lanier.
Now we're going to get Ms. Payne up here, our consultant from RT County. Robin, how are you?
I'm good. How are you all?
Great. Okay.
Let's see. The first item is approval for submission of a grant to the North Carolina Parks and Recreation Trust Fund. The title of this grant is the 2022 Accessibility for Parks Grant Program. It is for phase two of Tall Glass of Water. The grant amount we're requesting is $500,000. The match is $100,000. The match would be required in budget years 2023 and 24. We do not know if we have been accepted into this program until late spring of 2023. The grant request would go towards the pavilion, the stage, the green space, and the restrooms. And that, of course, in this is the poster that we've been using to hold different civic meetings and a public meeting throughout the county. Everything in green is what the funding would go towards. Accessibility for parks means that we are making physical adaptations to all the structures to make sure that they're accessible to all, not just wheelchaired individuals. Any questions?
Greg, you brought a comment made reference to RV parking and also the primitive camping. Where's that fall in at?
That's not part of this grant program.
Okay.
Parking for primitive camping?
No, RV.
Parking for RV and then primitive camping.
Okay. Primitive camping parking will be included in phase one, which we're getting ready to start now. There will be a car space there. And of course, they can utilize the parking. Actually, let me back up on that. They can utilize primitive camping spaces for phase one will utilize the parking at the restroom for phase one, which is the building at the top of the hill. RV parking, that is a primitive space. There are no vehicular RV sites for phase one or phase two. So all RV camping is going west of the bridge area. It's not towards the waterfront. So for phase one and phase two, there is no RV parking.
Okay. How about tent? I mean, I know, I guess it all falls. You have primitive, which is no electricity, no water, no nothing. Right. Then you have regular tent camping that supplies some electricity and water and
One is eight spaces. You bring a tent. There will be a fire grill there. And there'll be a post with a number so that we can establish some type of reservation system. It's anticipated that people will come in by kayak, as promoted by part of the Roanoke Rivers partnership. And they can drive in. If they drive in, they can park at phase one, where the facility is, restroom area.
Yeah, Robin,
showers.
I know you're right that it's not included in phase one and phase two, but we did discuss our desire to try to do RV parking, both as a source of revenue, right? And it's could be a significant driver on revenue, right? So where does that fall within?
When you say RV parking, you're talking RV campsites.
That's correct.
Okay. After phase three. So we're in three phases, what we're breaking the project into. So phase three would be campsites, RV camping.
Yeah, exactly. This is a revenue potential that can drive support for a lot of the other areas. That's a big piece. We talked about that early on, right?
We need the infrastructure
so
in place.
Right now, we will be installing Roanoke Electric, the core line, coming down to phase one. That line, correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, that line will provide the base for pulling off to each of the RV areas. I think we're making the right steps moving forward towards the campground. I can give you an update in the next commissioner's meeting if you'd like that.
How many RV sites will there be?
Ooh.
Steve, you have anything to add to that?
Well, I did want to add one thing. We have run into a lot of problems getting money, grant money, for something that is going to be revenue.
That's right.
That's a major problem when you're trying to go after like part of grants.
I understand. And again, to Commissioner Weston's point and to Rob's point, I do remember that being a part of the discussion also, mm-hmm. was the revenue to put that infrastructure in for that, because it was going to be a revenue creating entity. Right. And we didn't have grants to be able to do that, which right. again, with phase one starting in March, and then we have phase two that's going to be starting after March, of course, okay, mm-hmm. we're going to be somewhere during budget. And that's when we can probably start talking about those kind of things that aren't going to be covered by grants, that we will be able right. to research our budget, see what we have as far as funding, and then present it, what we come up with, county manager, and we'll end up getting back with the consultants and Steve and the rest of the board sure. at the same time and come to an idea and a solution to the RV situation.
And there's a difference between just spaces to park an RV if you're attending, as opposed to RV associated kind of camping sites, right? That you would need to be able to have the kind of plug-in capacity and waste reduction and all those kinds of things. And those are the ones that generate significant revenue. I mean, you look at most of the well-defined similar projects, and that is a big driver in terms of revenue for the operation of the site. So I'm not suggesting that if it can't be found with grant, perhaps that's something, as Chairman said, that we need to look at in terms of our funding to be able to do and connect into that Roanoke line, et cetera, so that we can provide this.
Right.
This is a big piece. So I don't want to lose that on just simply focusing on phase one and two.
Right. Yes, so I understand.
Income producing aspect of this thing complicates receiving
each grantor has a different set of requirements. What we do is look at the different grant possibilities and examine that question. Because in the last 2 years, because of the monies that are now available to rural communities, there's been some loosening of that kind of restriction of income producing, because of course, rural communities are looking for ways to bring more money into the government operation.
And again, if I may add to what Robin has, you have something to say, I'm sorry.
Well, part of what she's talking about too, since it's been a lot of money that's been flushed out in the last 2 years, but there's been a lot more projects that have come on board in the last 2 years also. And it's kind of like, okay, we're going to do a project over here that's not revenue producing for a town or a county that can't afford, just like some of the things that we wanted to do down there that we could not afford. They want to do that for 99 other counties. But I think she's right. I think some of the things that we're hearing in the classes that we've been in, that some of that might get opened up. A little bit in the near future.
To accept grant for generating income.
Well, no. See, that's the point I thought he was making, that there should be, these are two separate things. I mean, whether or not there are grants that can help fund RV parking is one thing, right? But there shouldn't be any kind of grants that prohibit this county from doing, for-profit things on our own site, especially something like RV. So if we could not find the funding through a grant source, right, then that would be something that we might want to consider.
Right.
That'd be no restriction around that.
Right. And what we'll be soon to be examining is what are all of our different options for moving forward into the campus.
Gotcha.
And again, if I can touch on this, there's two separate questions. Okay. One, any of the grants we have received so far, would that have some issue with us doing RV? Second part is, we know we're not going to be able to find grants to do this because that would be a revenue stream, okay? Then it's something that the county itself can do and make that happen.
Right.
I think that's the right. Two questions.
We have a list of options to look
absolutely.
Into.
Absolutely.
But each one of the grants, just kind of sort of answer your question, to each one of the grants, you are very, very specific in each of them that she has applied for. So, and Brittany Schiff, who is with the state of North Carolina, I think she's become Robin's best friend. Well, maybe Robin's become her best friend. I don't know which way that would work. But Brittany
we talk a lot.
Really has worked hard with us with Part F grants. And she understands where we're trying to get to. So if we were to kind of overstep that line, she'd let us know. She'd let us
absolutely.
Know.
Really good. We're fine.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other
thank
questions?
You.
Any other questions?
Questions.
No.
Okay. There's any other questions?
Do you need approval for
I
that?
I need a motion to approve submission of the grant.
Can I have a motion, please?
I'll make the motion to approve the submission of the grant to Parks and Recreation Trust Fund for the accessibility, the 2022 accessibility plan elements of Plan 2.
I'll second that.
Okay. First and second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
The second request for grant submission is for the Bertie Travel and Tourism effort. And this is to North Carolina Department of Commerce Rural Transformation Grant Fund under the category of Downtown Revitalization. This is for a 30-month master planning process that we will be looking for a consultant to work with any of the municipalities and communities that may want to participate for assistance with downtown revitalization. Also master planning for the entire county, which springboards off of what we've been doing over the past year, and that is phase one of the branding. This is taking it a step forward. We would be producing with these funds a master plan that we can use for investment. Small businesses, whether they're new or existing, will be able to use that master plan for if they needed to apply for a loan. It gives people awareness of what we're planning for the future, but also bigger is that it presents to everyone what the assets are, where all the potential lies, and what's been happening thus far. But it does it in a pictorial way, in a graphic representation. So the cost, the estimated cost for this, and there is no match requirement, is $256,750. And this is, like I said, North Carolina Department of Commerce, the Rural Transformation Grant Fund. It's the same group that Steve and I have been attending, the RC2 Capacity Building Program since last May. We graduate in October. We've learned a lot through that program, and we anticipate inviting a lot of those speakers that we met throughout those 7-8 months to come to Bertie to meet with folks. So I think this is really exciting. So
okay.
I would like your permission to submit the grant.
We have a motion, please.
I make a motion. We approve the grant going to North Carolina Department of Commerce Rural Transportation for $256,750.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. Any questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Can I slide in one question?
Sure.
Strategic planning. Can all of these grants are due November 1. So once that's over, I'm ready to dive back in. Can we have some kind of work session, strategic planning to go that next step? November, anytime before the 16th. So if we can.
Before November the 16th, so we ask.
Just putting that out there. I don't need to know now. Just.
Let's go ahead and look at it now.
Well, we have a meeting on the 7th of November. Could we piggyback that?
We could also turn that meeting on the 7th of November into a work session.
Yeah, we piggyback,
and,
yeah.
You know, take care of the pertinent information we need to take care of, and then just go ahead and use that as a work session and make it a morning meeting also. Does anybody have any objections to that?
That's where you go, Chair.
Yeah, okay. Rather than having two meetings.
Right, right.
Okay.
So it's going to the holiday season. That's correct.
Okay. And we'll be looking at the 7th. And how does that fit everybody's?
Great. Okay.
That's November the 7th.
Yes, ma'am. And that would be set at 10 a.m. on November 7th. And again, what we need to talk in preference to the meeting, then we'll go right into work session.
Okay, I think we should do that. I will point out that that is the day before Election Day, however, but, you know.
Early voting will not be taking place, so.
No, that's
that
correct.
That will help.
So, yeah, that will be a good thing.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Okay. Chairman, if I can have a motion to amend our meeting schedule to reflect that change.
Absolutely. Have a motion, please.
I'll make the motion that to accept change in the schedule of the meeting from a regular meeting to a workshop meeting.
And that's on the 7th?
On November 7th, 2022.
At 10 a.m.
10 a.m. Commissioner Rome.
Second.
Okay, we have a first and a second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Crave project funding for courtroom cabling. For remote proceedings.
Commissioners, the North Carolina Administrative Office of the Courts received some funding to allow for full system installation of what they call the CRAVE project. And CRAVE stands for Courtroom Audio Visual Experience. And so what that simply is just to enhance the capability to safely and securely hold remote court proceedings. So in order for AOC to install this project, there's some cabling that is necessary that needs to be done in our courtroom. And in your packet, you have a memorandum of agreement in the appendix.
Is this where the inmate stays at his location? Okay. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And so they will cover the full cost of this? They will do that? We will. That $8,000 is ours.
No, they will not.
Is theirs. Gotcha. Money well spent.
Is our jail ready for that?
We are set up and we do have that, but we need to understand at our jail right now, and this has been sent to the state in writing, we are down by 9 correctional officers, and we have people going into a room. We have to have them escorted into a room. We have to have a correctional officer who operates and another correctional officer that's waiting, which then limits the staff in the jail at that time even further. So that's the questions and that's the problems that we can run into here. Right now, we have been hiring and training people. But again, as every law enforcement agency is having issues and correctional departments are having issues finding the people who will apply for the jobs. And I think you know that was on the state level, and it's also on the county and local levels too. So that is an issue.
I know the state has had this for a long time and has been doing it in some counties for a very long time, but
And this has been a practice, but I will tell you this, sometimes the state brings their people over to us also. Now, when COVID came in, since I was a chair and speaking with Mr. Whitehurst, who is the director, and speaking with county management, we did not want other inmates coming from other jails, especially if we had the strength of COVID all over, because we didn't want to infect our jail. We went a very long time through the pandemic without having one single case. So that's the deal. So,
well, when you have a potential violent inmate,
yes,
it's so much better to be able to leave him in place.
Yeah.
And instead of risking him coming to court, and I think about the inmate that got the gun and shot up the courtroom a few years back.
Sure. Well, as I said before, we have been doing this.
Yeah.
Okay. But we have constraints when it comes to personnel. And I want the rest of this board to know this. And we have sent letters to the state and allowing them to understand that we are down 9 officers. Yeah. But we're not dealing with Pisquimans is down 45-40%, I believe, something like that. I think
that's an issue probably, you know, to be addressed by several counties and boards, but this is something whose time has come, and we need to be able to try to take advantage of this. So. Okay, what do you need?
A motion, please.
Yes, I will make that motion to allow AOC to move forward with the build in of this and the cost to us at $8,613. Go forward.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Juan, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Do you remember off the top of your head roughly how much money we have in our existing system, which has never worked?
Forever.
I mean, it never worked. I don't know how much the county invested in it, but problematic is an understatement. It just never worked.
Yeah.
So
I can't answer that. I don't
know how much. I mean, I'm just wondering if that's something we need to pursue. I mean, I don't know how much we spent on it, but it never worked. I just assume I recall it was pretty expensive, if I remember right. And I would just think if it never worked, we should be able to get some of that money back. I mean,
that would be lovely.
Yeah. Right.
And I would like to add to that, Martin County does not do what we're talking about doing. They haven't been doing it as far as inmate first appearances. They don't do it. Sheriff, they've been working very good with us as far as moving inmates where they need to be, just for the simple fact that shorthanded. So I just wanted to add that in. Okay, next on the agenda, Verte County Personnel Policy Review.
On that. So So we'll make sure that that is done. So we're not asking for a vote today because that needs to be done before the vote. But I'm going to let you know what the plan is so that one day here, so hope to have a fully revised or updated personnel policy. So again, today I'll turn it over to Courtney.
Good morning.
Yes, please. Is this the policies?
The article.
Okay. Because I do not see the personnel policy. I have vehicle.
Oh, no, it's not in there.
Okay. She just gave it to you.
Okay.
That we're talking about today. She'll go through it and let you know exactly what it says now and what we're recommending that it does.
Okay.
Good morning.
As Mr. Bowen mentioned, we have been thinking about the preparing for the county personnel policy and noting all of the suggested changes. As you mentioned, I have suggested updates for your consideration this morning, part 5, 6, and 11. Within your packet, you will find a copy of this article that we will discuss this morning. That is an additional copy of the article, but it has the suggested changes. And those changes will be added here. There's a little highlight that was already in the policy that just helps us make for the requirements of eligibility. You'll be able to identify which article is the original and the most updated. A little bit of update relative to the top four, the current policy, or again, Article 5. Within this article, I would like to address the 14. It is my recommendation to remove the below summary of the requirement as the prior summary makes clear that the position.
Are you looking for approval of these as we do it? This is just
for no approval at all.
I got you. Gotcha.
I think we can save the feedback to the next meeting so we have a chance to read some of this stuff. Okay.
Article 6. So, in this article, I would like to have the service.
Question I would have is upon our review of these things, and if we have additional questions or recommendations that we would like to make, should we submit those to you for your review consideration, or are you suggesting that we hold them till we attack this all at once?
Has this been sent to legal for their review also? Okay. Are we going to do that?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, again, the purpose of the last year, I think they saw it. So, absolutely, be aware of these updates. And feedback, make sure that before you have access.
Will the 8th be long enough for everybody to have a review on this, I think? Yeah, okay.
I think so. Yeah, I would like, Mr. Chair, to be able to submit suggested changes to Ms. Ward, copying the county manager for discussion or for their review prior to, you know, if any come up, so that would shorten time of the meeting and
that'd be great.
Get this thing out.
Copy
so,
if you have any changes or if anybody has any
suggest,
changes, copy each other also.
Perfect.
Okay. So,
there you go.
And also, Mr. Manager, at the final the final print, I would like for all the county employees to have a copy. Okay, and then they know what they're working with.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay. Right
now, of course,
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. All right. Bertie County Vehicle Policy Review. Something else for us to review.
That's a big deal, too.
Certainly.
Okay. Next is going to be Bertie County Fund Balance Policy Review.
This is something, another policy
The only question I had about this particular policy, County Manager, is that what happens if unusual situation, if we approve this and unusual situations come that we have to make changes to that? Does this allow us to do that in a relatively easy way, as opposed to having to have formal meetings to approve and this and that and whatever? How would that take place? Is that detailed to you? So in essence, making changes to this policy, we can do this on the fly as we need to, and if the situation presents itself. Nothing says these are the steps that we have to go through.
To your point, I read through this when I first got in here, and I think there's something stipulates in here that can be done. Okay, that there can be changes made by a four or either five vote process. Okay, a super majority. Okay, and so it does allow us to make those altercations. If we need to change something, we can change it.
Right. What that is saying is, so if our fund balance falls below a certain point, like again, the standard has been, so we fall below 8%. What this says is, say something comes up now that the board feels like we need to get the money on the fund balance, given we're already low, it would take four members instead of three.
Right. And then it also pertains, with us being over our fund balance, if we drew it down past that, it would take a majority,
right?
Super majority to do that.
And I certainly got that part, and I like that part, but my question was really about change if we decided to make changes to the policy itself, right? Not, you know, what to utilize what it says in there, but I just want, what would that look like? Do we have to go through some to do that of the policy itself? Is there some restriction or something? That's it? That's all it takes?
Exactly.
That's right.
And that is not a super majority. That's just three votes.
Right.
So, okay. Anything else? Anybody have any questions? Next is off of Bertie County Early College Property.
We'll have to have some discussions about it, and we'll not have to delay the tax that
can remember at the Board of Education meeting him giving a dollar amount of what they had researched to bring the building up to par. Do you remember what that dollar amount was?
It was $500,000.
Mr. Manager. Southwestern High School, built 1964. Okay. I was there at a football game, 10 years old, probably 6 to 8. Okay. But anyway, it has a lot of value to the county. It has more value than we can really realize, only if we thought about it. As everybody knows, it was a black high school. You know what I mean? It has a lot of sentimental values to the black communities. And at this point in time, I definitely like the county to have to utilize to make money for the citizens to pay for, black and white citizens to pay for it, and help enriching and do some things better for the county here now. That's my point.
I'd like to make a comment. Thank you, Commissioner Robinson. I would also like to point out that, you know, when the last two properties that the school declared as surplus, which was C.G. White and J.P. Law, and they were offered as well, and of course the county declined, and those things were put up for sale, right? And they are sitting there rotting right now. Nothing's been done to them. Eyesores in the community. And I think that was a mistake. I thought so then. And I would say the same thing about this building. One thing I believe in, that's Attorney Smith to correct me if I'm wrong in this, but the advantage of the county taking this property is that if we did, first of all, our citizens paid for it. Yeah, first thing is citizens of this county paid for it. And I think we ought to have a voice in terms of how that building is used going forward, whether that's used constructively or if it had to go up for sale, then we would be in charge of that. But I believe there is a rule that says that if we take it, then the way that we could dispose of that is different from what the school would have to do if they decided to dispose of this. If we say no, my understanding is that they are then required to put it up for sale, okay? But if it were given to us, then we could dispose of it in different kind of ways. Could we sell it? Yes. Could we also allow it to be leased and used? Yes. And Juan, I think you'll remember that in a meeting they had when they first discussed this, two local organizations came before them, a Good Shepherd Food Pantry, who has received additional grants from Feeding America to expand their business to be a regional center of distribution. Even though the money is there, they can't do that because their facility is not large enough for them to be able to do it. They would like to come in and occupy a space, half of that building. Then there's also Carolina Rebuilders Ministry, another nonprofit led by David Peel, as a lot of us know, prior owner of Avoca Farms, would like to come in and take the other half of that building because they are looking to do 72 major home repairs in Bertie County alone in the next 12 months. Both of these, as they present it to the school board, are willing to take on 100% of the operating cost of that building by contract. 100%. They're not interested in the gymnasium or the outbuildings, but that major building, which a lot of the repairs to Commissioner Trent's statement about the total cost were in those outbuildings. The existing building now, everything works. Air, heat, roof, all works. That's what they're interested in. So, you know, I think that is something that I would hope that the county would strongly consider accepting that, so that we can make the decisions about how that building is used. So, opinion.
Have they given us a price?
No.
Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
I think we can acquire this property for transfer fees only, $1.
Right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Take that to the table. I think it'll happen.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think they're looking to quote make any money on the deal.
Right.
A couple of questions. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Okay. Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
If you can find exact what the repairs were and what part of the school, because I don't have that information. I just knew there was a number thrown out there.
Okay.
Commissioner Wesson is probably right. Yeah. He could be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know that.
Yeah, that was presented, and you can get that from Superintendent, because he presented that. As
and,
you remember.
If we get that, and then possibly the whole board or part of the board, whoever would like to do a walkthrough of this section, and then the people that are spoken about in reference to leasing have a letter of intent for us, or we could get a letter of intent that they're interested. Doesn't mean it's not a contractual agreement, it's just a letter of intent. Okay. And if we find out that the part of the school that has to be refurbished or repaired or brought up to speed is the part that everybody is talking about, then county management finance tells us how they're going to get the money to do this. Because that's a key question. If that is what it is, that's what I look at. And I'm going to go back a few meetings. Commissioner Wesson had been dealing with Congressman Butterfield, great guy, was getting us funding. We're supposed to get funding, I should say, let me rephrase that. And that was one of the things that we voted on, okay? And if we had gotten that funding, then everything would have been cured. That would have been a non-issue, okay? But if you could do those things, that's what I would be interested in.
Let me make this one, Mr. Chairman. The offer made by Good Shepherd and Carolina Rebuilders to the Board of Education is to accept all responsibility for repairing this, but they're not looking for anything from the county or anything from the school board.
That's right.
To do that, yes, sir, to do all repairs themselves that are needed. And the reason for that is because they have been out there with Mr. Bond and everybody walked that building, even had their engineers out there, and they are willing to accept all of that. But they're not looking for any money.
Okay.
From the county to repair anything in advance.
And again, this should be in the letter of intent.
Yes, and they have that with the school, but they can give us one as well.
And that should be in the letter of intent.
Right.
It would certainly be a great place for Good Shepherd Food Pantry. I mean, and desperately needed.
And not only that, the rec center, Department of Recreation Center, needs a gym. They need a, you know, they have a baseball field, but Southwestern offers both baseball field, football field. You know, if you want to do soccer, you can do soccer. It's a lot of land here.
YMCA was using a basketball gym also. Mm-hmm. It would be great to have those letter of intent so that we know exactly where everybody's specific deal is. And we can get that.
And to that point, you know that the citizens have come before this board talking about basketball, a place for recreational basketball. That would be under the county that would take care of that need. And one last thing, let's take a look just what was done across the Roanoke in Martin County. Their last school went up for surplus. Mm-hmm. The county took that, and now they are using it as a multi-purpose facility to support all kinds of nonprofits across their country, across their county. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great model for us.
Believe when we had the option with Congressman Butterfield and the federal government, it was unanimous vote to do this because we had the money to do it. Okay. Yep. So if you get these letters of intent, the rest of the board, we can do a walkthrough, things of that nature, then we can take care of whatever needs to be taken care of. When people want to vote for it, they don't want to vote for it. It's what it is. So,
yes, sir.
Okay. Any other questions? Facility use agreement for the community meeting room.
Commissioners, in your packets, you have some documents, one that include a facility use agreement. And this was drafted by our attorneys a while back when the Recreation Department we were considering leasing that out for an event. However, it has been updated to reflect some of our discussions that we've had about leasing the community meeting room at the Library and Cooperative Extension Facility. And so if you all would like, I have highlighted certain portions of this agreement for some discussion. If the board plans to move in that direction to make this happen. So again, it is not ready for approval based on its current form, but there's some highlights and strike throughs that we need to discuss today so that we can get it in a form that is ready for approval. Okay, so everyone has their document. And the pages aren't numbered, but it's actually 2, 4, 6, 7. On page 8 of the handout that you have, it's in attachment A, and it lists facility rules. And it's my understanding that before we were going to allow the consumption of alcohol. However, I think from discussion that the board has had and my talk with the attorneys, I think that's something that we would not like to have, at in this facility. So I, you know, if you all agree, I think we can ask the attorneys to draft something that says no alcohol will be allowed on the premises.
Mr. Manager.
Yes, sir.
Commissioner Robertson is not in favor of public use because our county is not operable ready for that opportunity. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
So I would just like to say I've received several phone calls from staff that have some concerns about us renting that room out. They have concerns about it not being available for other county stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they have concerns about it getting mistreated. And they have concerns with the rental price that we are charging. They don't think it's nowhere near as much as it should be.
I'd like to express my opinion. First of all, this facility belongs to the citizens of this county. They pay for this.
No, they didn't.
Yes, I didn't say they paid for it. Nobody paid for it but Golden Leaf, but they pay for the electricity. They pay for the cost of operating that building and anything associated with it. That comes from this county. That's from our citizens. That's where money comes from. So it makes absolutely no sense to me to say or to imply that somehow this building or space would be misused by citizens. Right now, our citizens leave here and go over to Martin County, to Hertford County and other places and spend their own money to have simple things like a birthday party, a family gathering, because we don't have any place here that's really appropriate for it. And here we're given a community space and we want to restrict the use of it to somehow not, because we think they're not going to take care of it. Look at what we do within the county already. In the town of Windsor, they've had a community space for years. I don't see any abuse of that or neglect of it or not taking care of it. There's a place in Orlando that citizens can lease out and use. But here we have an even more appropriate space for a larger facility. And let me say this. I wanted to offer a proposed change in one of the in the language of this, to say that if we're going to broaden the use of this beyond meetings, that we restrict those other, quote, non-meeting events that might have music and other things to the after hours, off hours of the facility. There's virtually no use of this building after hours. And after hours means, if you look at the library schedule, from 6 o'clock when they close to 10, Monday through Thursday, it could be used. On Friday, they have story time, so it's 8 to 10. On Saturday, they're only there until noon, so noon to 10 o'clock, and from 8:30, full day on Sunday. This would not interfere with any activity of the library or corporate extension, but would extend to our citizens an opportunity to use this facility in a reasonable way, in a reasonable way. And I want to say that I think our attorneys did a great job of putting in the kinds of things in here that would be required, whether that's security, whether that would be the cost of making sure that it is covered in terms of what the use would be, who would do the setup, who would do the teardown, all of those things that have been so well documented here. but to decline to allow our citizens to use something that belongs to them in a responsible way absolutely makes no sense to me.
Chairman, may I request, just to make sure that we're all on the same page? Sounds like we may need to have a vote since there are differing opinions. And if the vote is for us to move forward with this, then we can dive back into what this agreement looks like. But it looks like everyone is not in favor of this. So can we take a vote to know which way we're going?
Okay. Facility agreement. Facility use agreement. Approval of use of this. Motion in favor for allowing general public.
I would make the motion, Mr. Chairman, to allow the community to use the space that they already own, pursuant to the rules made by in the facility use agreement by our attorneys, with the exception or the addition of, and I'll read what at least what I wrote here, all use of the community meeting space that would require involve the use of music or that would generate significant noise will be restricted to off-hour time usage to not conflict with the public library and or corporate extension workday hours. And that would extend to Monday through Thursday, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m., Thursday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Fridays from noon until 10 p.m., and of course on Sunday as it issued here, 8:30 to 10 p.m. That way there would be no disruption of existing operations there, but would take a facility that is not being used on off hours and allow our citizens to use it.
Is there a second? There is no second. All right, next on the agenda is going to be DSS update by Assistant Secretary Susan Osborne and Senior Director Carla West.
Good morning.
Thank you all for letting us come and update you this morning. Have a little time on your agenda. Good to see some of you again. Adult services, if you an update on the adult services.
effort has been an effort by the State Department of Health and Human Services, an effort by Bertie County DSS, and an effort by your county government, your county manager, and there she is over there in your HR. And it has been cooperative and supportive arrangement as we have shared this mission. I want to tell you a little bit about the resources DHHS has put on the ground here in Bertie County. We have had on site between 2 and 4 staff of DHHS. We have had our, I've been here, we've had our state child welfare director, we've had our deputy director of child welfare practice, Adrian Day, who has been on site weekly. Section Chief Peter West and Kathy Stone have been on site. And then we have had multiple county op staff on site and usually average 2 to 3 of those every day. Providing supervision and case management in every part of the decision. To tell you where we are, back in April, we looked at your county statistics in that functioning continuum that I talked about for child welfare. And what we were finding is that you were averaging in your county 6 reports per what we're seeing now, May through October, with us on the ground, is we're averaging 15, so we're double. Somewhat due to the intake process wasn't always covered, so community members and professionals couldn't call and make reports always. So we're averaging 15 now. Bertie County DSS is paying out about 80% of that 6 they got every month. The state average is between 62 and 64%. Then between May and October, we're at feel like we've leveled off and we're spending the resources on the right thing and stringing out the right thing. But that means more work and pretty much have doubled the expenses for the staff. We have a new director that started today. She might be here. We're so excited now. I'll just tell you, she worked for me prior to y'all hiring her. So. You're getting a good
That's full disclosure.
Full disclosure, and she's wonderful, and we are pleased to have her in her role. We are still supervision to support her on a team, and we'll talk about that later. But I want to say, I want to give you some specifics. So we have trained staff. Coach staff and going out in the field in support of your staff. We have provided some new tools that they are using. We have created a filing system. We have retooled positions. Jack Jones, the interim DSS director, county manager Vaughn, and Adrian Day have
And adult services saw many of the very same issues that was found in child welfare. But while in child welfare, we were able to step in and take over and provide that leadership, in adult services, we didn't have that same ability. And so based on a request from Bertie County Senior Leadership at DSS to provide some intensive technical support, we came in and created a corrective action plan along with the county to really come in and provide that support that was needed to overcome some of the challenges that we saw in adult protective services. Since about the first week of May, we have had staff who were on site 5 days a week, including our section chief, Carrie Perez, our senior continuous quality improvement, Sarah Richardson, our continuous quality improvement specialist, Brandy Mann, and numerous other people who were here 5 days a week for over 3 months, providing intensive assistance, including training staff individually on processes and procedures, going out on field visits, and providing tools just like we did in child welfare. About 2 months ago, we went to 2 days a week where we had staff that came in 2 days a week. And every other week, our section chief, Carrie Perez, and our senior CQI specialist, Sarah Richardson, came in and did some random case reviews to just make sure everything was going along as it should be going along. About a week ago, it feels like a long time ago, but it was really right around October 5th, during a random review, they saw that there were some things that were sliding back into some old habits, some cases not being documented accurately in the records, and visits that should be made to adults in their homes to make sure that they are still in a safe environment were not being made. And so Carrie Perez and Sarah Richardson came in on October 5th and did a complete full record review of all of your open adult protective cases. They looked at 7 cases that were evaluated for services and another 9 that were evaluated and found meeting services from Bertie County. All of the records that reviewed lacked documentation and the necessary face-to-face visits that were needed in those homes to ensure the safety of those adults.
Can I ask a question as we Absolutely. Go on here, please? Because if this gets real lengthy, which I'm sure it's going to, for the board, be able to ask questions as you move forward, if that's okay. Now, you said October 5th, correct? You saw where it was sliding backwards instead of progressively moving forward?
Exactly.
Okay. Now, I assume that was personnel that should have been processing paperwork and interviewing, as you were talking about, correct?
Right.
Okay. What happens to that particular person, that person?
So I
and
do.
And again, let me interrupt real quick. Is this something that can be discussed in open session, or should we go to a closed session?
I think it might be
better. Okay. Then if I don't have any objections from the rest of this board, I'd like to move this conversation into a closed session. Okay. Is there any objections to that? And Mr. Attorney, do you have the, I assume it's the same statute that we have on paperwork, okay, about going into closed session, okay? And Ms. Lee, you mind reading it off for me?
I make a motion we go into closed session pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318, point 11A6. And sorry, I don't have any glasses. I can't read that.
That was my
print.
Problem. So that's the reason I passed it off. I figured she had the eyes.
One point of concern is
please.
That if we go into closed session, are we then going to come out and allow these ladies to whatever information they were going to share with the public, because we are a public body, to complete that? Because it would be nice to have them complete their presentation now if there was not anything, you know, concerning, and then to go into closed session and ask questions of it. I'd like them to be able to complete what they did on the record.
Is there going to be some more personnel issues throughout?
No, actually, and I only have just a little bit more to go, and then I think the personnel
issues. Please proceed forward.
Okay. So I just wanted to say that The great news is by October 7th, the county, the staff there at Bertie County DSS had gone out and done all home site visits for all of the citizens. So that was, they jumped right on that and got out there. We did look at every other case. The practice, when our staff went out with the Bertie County DSS on those in-home visits, we saw some great improvement in their skills from when we went out with them back 5 months ago, which was, it was great to see. The problem was the documentation was not as strong as we would have liked to have seen. So at that time, we informed the interim DSS director that we were gonna shift our focus from doing more specialized training needs to again, doing some more direct management of the open cases. And started doing case staffing the week of October 10th. We have extended our corrective action plan until the week of October 31st and have sent that updated corrective action plan on October 11th. So we did let the director and the county manager know of our concerns and our plans on October 7th. And then and I think the rest of it can be saved for closed session. So we did see some improvement in some areas and some slipping back in some others. So we are moving into some more intensive oversight of management again.
Okay.
Are there plans for y'all to check in with Ms. Little periodically to see if she needs any further assistance or?
Yes. Okay. So for child welfare still remains in control of Bertie County Child Welfare. That has not been handed back yet. And we look forward to handing that off to Ms. Little. But she's gonna need some more support. We're still trying to hire a supervisor in Child Welfare. So yes, we'll be on site the way we have been for the last 5 months until we hand it off, number one. Number two, even when we hand it back, there'll be that ongoing work. We also have what's called a local support manager, and she will be working with Miss Little to give her support ongoing. She works with all new directors in an intensive one-on-one framework. And then in adult services, they will not be there 2 days a week, just like we want when we hand it back in child welfare. But yes.
I've been put in a job and said, here it is, and left to survive on my own. So I'd hate for Miss Little to go through that.
No,
we will not do that.
But I survived.
We are, you know, good for you. You know, have all worked hard and we're awfully proud of the efforts that Bertie County DSS staff have made. And we just want to keep that support up. One of the staff said to us, when y'all finish with us, we're going to be the best in the state.
That's right.
That's their goal, and that's our goal, to support that.
Well, thank you.
Any other questions? This time.
Motion on the floor, Mr. Chair. I'll second the motion.
Okay. We have a first and a second to go into closed session, reference personnel. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, we're back in session.
There's two other matters in the joint closed session. One is under 143.318.11A6, and the other one be under 143.318.11A4. A4 being
business. Okay. Can I have a motion? Can I have a second, please?
Second.
All right, we have first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
That's fine. We're getting ready to just be out of here, too. So, commissioners meeting is for November is going to be on the 14th at 10 a.m.
You want a motion for that?
I do, please.
I'll make a motion that we move our regular monthly meeting from November the 7th to November the 14th at 10 a.m.
So moved.
All right, we got a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Is there any other questions anybody's got?
Yes.
Okay. Next thing is the sheriff's salary.
Should we notify him before we announce this publicly? I think it would be the courteous thing to do.
I think so too.
Okay.
I'd hate him for him to hear it publicly rather than hear it.
Right.
County manager.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay, then. All right, then we'll do it next time. All right. That's it. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
No.